So good morning. We just want to welcome the stream churches as well. May you have a glorious presence where you gather together. May we have a glorious presence where we gather together this morning in the Lord's presence. We've really prayed that the Lord will transform us, our hearts today. We've really prayed that the Lord will visit us this morning. And I believe that he's already come in such a beautiful way. And just to tell us, I've got a plan for you. I've got hope for you in store, my church. And this morning we're going to speak on obscurity. The title is Obscurity to Security. Okay, and the very interesting thing is that my husband and I are quite different. We love working together, but we are quite different. Now, Mac's motto in life is the following. He says, everything in its place and all things are in place. Now, right there is the core of all evil in my household. Because my motto is, there are 10 things for one thing, and one thing can have 10 places. And once, I think, in fact, we were on our way to Vidius. Vidius and Elisna, I think, invited us for coffee, and we're on our way, and we gave them a time that we're going to arrive, and I can't find, like normally, my car keys. So we're searching in all the 10 places it possibly could be. And I cannot find it. Now, I know my husband is being polite in that moment. He's saying, don't worry, love. We will find it. Don't worry. But I know inside of him, he's going, I've told you a million times. We've got a key hanger. So I know he's being polite. So I'm getting a bit nervous. You know, it's that time when your husband says, Nordine, I don't agree. And you just go, it's fine. Whatever you say, I know I'm there. And I'm like, lovey, I'm so sorry, I can't find the key. And he walked to the key holder, and he said, here is the key. The moral of the story is, I've realized that day, I can't find things that are in their proper place. And he said, he never brought it up again. I'm very thankful. But I knew it took all the self-control not to give me the lecture again. That's why the scissors go here and the keys go there. And this is the pen holder. In the offices, whenever you come to our offices, he said to me, I must sit right against the wall. Because when people walk in, he prefers that they see his desk first. So you get the idea, okay? And funny enough, the body of Christ works very much like that. We all have a proper place. We have all a place where we actually belong. And I want to prove it to you this morning. Let's read together in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. It says, and before I read, I just want to mention to you that I'm in agreement with Paul, whatever he writes here, okay? The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one. And then we skip a few scriptures, and it says, but our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part, read it with me, just where he... So this scripture tells me that you have a specific place for you to have things in place. Amen? Thank you for that, amen. Okay. And the moral of 1 Corinthians 12 is everyone is part of the body, and we as the body suffer when one part is suffering. Okay? And now, for those who are married here, and specifically the guys, you know when your wife comes to you and say, lovey, I just want to know, where's your favorite place? Is it with me or is it with the guys watching rugby? Is it with me or with the guys surfing? You know. It's a loaded question. You know when you're married. That is a loaded question. You know why it's loaded? There's no way out of it. Because any wise man will say to his wife, lovey, you know you are my favorite place. But any wise man will know. She'll go, you're just lying. You're just scared you're going to get into trouble. That's why you're saying it. So there's no way out of it. If you say no with the boys, then you're in any case in trouble. And that might just cause a very intense fellowship between husband and wife. So every wife wants to know that her husband prefers her as the favorite place. Every wife prefers her husband to be her favorite place. Jesus prefers us as the body of Christ, that he is our favorite place. Now, a few years ago, I had a head-on collision. We used to stay in Joburg. One evening, we were driving with my folks, and we had a head-on collision. Now, let me just entertain you for a while. It was a head-on, so I fainted for a while, and then I came by, woke up, whatever, and I'm like, oh my goodness, people, heaven is not what everybody told us. It stinks. It's dark. You smell rubber. And I'm like, Jesus, please send me back. I want to tell the people the truth. Until I saw a petrol truck coming and he's going to hit us. And I realized, this is earth. This is no heaven. But in that accident, I cracked my sternum. Now, before the accident, prior to the accident, I wasn't aware of a sternum. I didn't know what it was good for. I didn't even know where my sternum was before the accident. But after the accident, I was very aware of my sternum because it immobilized me completely. I couldn't speak properly, couldn't cough, couldn't laugh, couldn't lift my hands. And to me, it was just so mind-blowing. Just a small part in my body immobilized me completely. And that is what 1 Corinthians 12, verse 22 says. He says, in fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. It's not the person on the podium that is important. It's not the public speaker. The people important this morning is, and I'm not saying you are not important, the volunteers serving in the kids' church, the guys in the parking lot, the ushers running around to make sure we've got a Christ encounter in this church this morning. It is the people pouring coffee and tea, running around, making sure when you walk out, you have a place that feels like home. But we in the Western world, we got so conditioned, like, if I'm in front row, you know, when they see me, hey, that is the body. It's often the weakest part. And everybody has a place. It's not your place this morning to serve, for instance, in kids' church. But next week, some volunteers will be here and you will be away. And everybody has a place. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18, let's have a look at it again. But our bodies have many parts, and God has just where you are in Shofar Stellenbosch as part of this body, because that is exactly where God wants you. How amazing is that? How amazing is that? You have a place in the body of Christ. He created a place for you. Now, often people say, I do nothing. Then I say, start doing something. Start serving. That's the kingdom of God. Every meal you take to someone, every word of encouragement, every person you help, it's part of exercising the ligaments of the body of Christ. God has set a place for you. Many Christians have displaced themselves, okay? God's body is limping because we don't understand our proper godly placement, okay? Because we don't take the key and go put it back where it belongs. But Jesus always takes you as the key, the building block of his kingdom, and then he goes and he always builds you back into his kingdom. Now I want to tell you about this amazing story in 1 Kings 19. It's too much. I'm not going to read all of it. I'm only going to read a small part of it this morning. But that's the part where Elijah runs away from Jezebel. He's hiding in the cave and he's having a pity party, okay? And God comes to him and speaks to him. He says to him, Elijah, what are you doing here? Like, this is not your place. Well, excuse me? Why are you having a pity party right now? Okay. Verse 10 says, 1 Kings 19, verse 10, Elijah replied, and this is his pity party. He says, God, I'm so amazing. I keep your covenant. I serve you wholeheartedly by those people. Really? They break covenant with you. So God says to him, basically, listen, I'm not worried about the people. He said to him, go out and stand before me on the mountain, the Lord told him. And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose. Read with me. But it was not in the wind. Verse 11 still. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord, read, was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire. But, and after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. The Lord told him, go back the way you came, Elijah. You see, we in the body of Christ, we've gotten used to the manifestations of the gifts. We want the fire. We want the earthquakes. We want the winds. But we don't want to go into the presence of God and be still and know His God just so that we can hear again what the Word of God tells us to do. You know what I'm worried about? Church, I'm not talking about Shofar Stellenbosch, I'm talking about Worldwide Church. People having amazing revelations that the Spirit of God reveals to them, but it's not scriptural. So it can't be the Spirit of God. Then they say, but it's Rhema word. God cannot give you Rhema word if it's not in line with His word. Okay? So we have to go stand on the mountain and say, Lord, where did I miss you? Okay, then the Lord told him, go back the same way you came. So God knows. Remember that God knows every hair on your head? He's aware of it. So God says to him, Elijah, I didn't miss the plot here, my boy. All I know is where you are now is not part of my plans, not part of my purposes. You need to go back the way you came, okay? To do what? And travel to the wilderness of Damascus. Really? Where it's dry, where there's no water. God, hello, it's Elijah. I'm the huge prophet. I'm adding a bit to the story. I just want you to get the picture. That is what we do. God, this is Nordine. I'm in ministry. I don't go back in the wilderness. Hello, Lord. I'm a leader's 2IC in Kids Church. Sorry, Jesus. I think you're a bit confused. It's me. I don't do wilderness. I've just come from there. Okay, that's what we do. And then there's an assignment. He says, and when you arrive there, anoint Hazael to be king of Aram. Then anoint Jehu, grandson of Nimshi, to be king of Israel. And anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from the town of Abel Meholah. To? Ouch. You as my prophet. So he's saying, Elijah, I know you have got dreams. I know you understand that you are called. I know that you are this nation's amazing prophet, but please get back in the wilderness and go build my kingdom and embrace the place I have for you. And that is God's message to us this morning. We have to embrace the place God has for us. Okay? The assignment is actually to Elijah. I'm sending you to a place to anoint your successor. Okay, Western world, Western church. So God, you're telling me I'm not good enough. Huh? It's not good, God. This is not funny. I'm the best preacher in our church. I'm the best intercessor. No. There's no. I'm just going to ignore. I'm not going to disciple somebody else and raise up a leader because you're planning me out of the way, God. That is how arch this one is, okay? 1 Kings 19, verse 15. Let's go back and have a look at that. Go back the same way you came and travel to the wilderness of Damascus. Now, just think. There's a moment between Christ and Elijah. And he's saying to Elijah, Elijah, your time might run out and you need to raise up a leader. You need to build into the plan I have for Elijah's life. And we, with our mindset, we would expect that person would be a well-known person, the favorite person, the well-spoken person, the Joel Osteens, the Joyce Myers. Am I right? Yes. Yes, I am right. You know it, okay? We expect the guy that everybody knows. But listen to this. It's God that promotes us into places. And normally, before he takes you to a place, you are in a place of obscurity. I can tell you, I can start here with Nikki and go person by person, and you will tell me of hardship, of darkness in your life, where you just knew, I have to hold on to Christ. A place of obscurity. But God fetches people from that place, and he promotes them. That place, you all know, that place of wilderness, it's dry, it's hot, there's not enough water, nothing is happening in that place. And even Elijah was in such a place. If you go read 1 Kings 17, he suffered complete burnout. So the Lord said to him, Elijah, okay, I'm going to help you out, my boy. I am your father, I'm helping you out. I'm going to go to the brook, stay there. The ravens will come and feed you, and you will drink water from the brook. So he did that. And then one morning, he woke up, and the brook was dry. Now this is where we as a church go, we heard God wrong. Oh my goodness. Oh, I was faithful. God, what are you doing to me? This is not worth it. I'm just suffering. But he forgets that the ravens came every morning and fed him meat and bread. I mean, hello. The brook has dried up. It's just time to move on. But Elijah knew that place of wilderness. So he's like, I'm sure, like, I've just come from there, God. It was horrible. Can you remember it? Now you're sending me back there. It's that challenging place, that place of the wilderness, that place where you want to give up on your marriage. It's just too hard. It's too dry. Nothing is happening. It's just too hard. It's that place where you decide Nickelodeon should parent your kids because it's just too hard. You're handing them over to DSTV. It's that place where you faithfully serve the church and the church is just not noticing you. They're not promoting you. It's that place. It's that place that you don't want to be faithful anymore. It's that place where you have dreams and desires and calling upon your life, and you go into your pastor and he goes, shucks, I just experienced not your time yet. I'm talking about that place, that hard, dry place. Now, God sent Elijah to find Elisha in the desert. Now, just a little secret. Where was Moses when God found him? Place of obscurity. Where was David when the prophet anointed him as king? He was looking after his father's sheep. They were at the place that they thought God would not be able to find them. But guess what? Look on the screen. God has the best GPS system in the wild. In this world, okay? We think we have to position ourselves to get promoted. Stay where you are at. God promotes servants. He promotes the faithful ones. Stay where you're at. God can find you there. God puts you in a body of Christ to serve and a place where you can grow. You're not by chance in Shofar Stellenbosch. You're not here. You're here because God wants you to be planted here so that you can grow here. You should stay in that place until he's ready for you. Do you know that in the beginning of our ministry years, I often said to my husband, hello, they've appointed somebody else, but I'm doing all the work. Hello? And then he says to me, Nordine, stay in that place until God is ready for you. Year after year, I'm thinking, yet another year, I did everybody else's work. They got all the promotion. Next year. Next year. I'm doing all the work. You stay in that place because God knows where you're at. You don't promote yourself. Okay? God sent Elijah to fetch Elisha. Now, take out your cell phone because I want you to see this for yourself or your Bible. And go search 1 Kings 19 verse 19. And you tell me where Elijah found Elisha. And then I need a volunteer to explain to the church where Elijah found Elisha. And you know the drill. If nobody comes up, I choose somebody I know. Okay. Where did Elijah find Elisha? First Kings 19:19. Where did he find him? Plowing the oxen. Okay, here's the detail. There were 12 groups of workers plowing the field with their oxen. He was in the 12th group, right at the back. Not a place of promotion. I tried to work that out in the corporate sense. The MD appoints a boy that is in the last group plowing the field in the desert. We can't work it out because we're building God's kingdom and this is about the body of Christ. We don't do it the way the world does it, okay? God can fetch you from obscurity and take you to security. But God wants to see whether you can stay in that place. Because God can find people that people cannot find. How amazing is that? God GPS. God can find people that people cannot find. God just wants you to, in this year, stay serving, stay being faithful, stay giving more of yourself, stay in His presence, stay pitching for intercession, stay, just stay at that place. Imagine Elijah went to fetch Elisha, and the previous night Elisha thought, God, you spoke to me. It's been confirmed prophetically over and over and over. I know this is what I'm supposed to do. I'm giving up. I'm going to Hillsongs because I can sing. And in my church, God, they don't want to acknowledge my amazing gift. So up goes Elisha and he goes. God never in Scripture said to Elijah, if you can't find Elisha, go search for him. He said, that is where he's going to be. Anoint him. Imagine the previous night, Elisha packed up and ran after his own dreams. He would have missed what God has prepared for him all along. Okay? We often abdicate our place. So then God comes to anoint us, and we're not in that place. And then somebody else is in that place. And that person gets the godly promotion. Okay? If you're not in place, God cannot catapult you into proper godly placement. Here's the other thing. When Elijah anointed Elisha, he wasn't placed in a prominent position. He served Elijah for another 10 years. Insane. It's insane. All this trouble. God is speaking to Elijah. Go fetch him in the desert. He gives him all the detail. And you think, Elijah is going to be promoted. No. Serve Elijah for another 10 years. Stay in that place. Do you think that there was never a time that Elisha was offended with Elijah? Let me tell you, if you are longer than 4 years in the church, you know that Elisha was at times offended with Elijah. He didn't leave the church. He didn't pack up his stuff and said, listen, I know exactly what God called me to do. I'm out of here. You've anointed me. I've got the calling. Ciao, China. Amazing. Don't give up your place because people don't greet you. You greet them. Don't give up your place because people don't invite you over. You invite them over. Don't give up your place because you're offended and your heart is full of unforgiveness. Don't give your place away. Okay? We've got a friend whose wife died, I think, 3 years ago. He's in Joburg. And this is the amazing thing about outreaches in our church. He came on outreach with us. What we didn't know is he was completely backslidden. So on our outreach, he recommitted his life to the Lord. So he went back to Joburg and went to see his pastor and said to his pastor, I want to join your church. He said, and you're telling me that because? He said, because I want to tell you, I understand something of the principles of the kingdom of God. I'm willing to do in your church that nobody else is willing to do. That's what he said. And the pastor said to him, I can't find anybody that can give the Alpha course in our church. It's like our Encounter One. He says, count me in. That church exploded last year because one man said, I'm willing to serve this church. I'm willing to stand in that place even if it's hard for me. He is a businessman of a huge corporation. It's not as if the guy has got the time. It's not as if he really has the capacity. But people came to salvation one after the other because he understood the place of serving others. Don't get connected from the church that will take you to the God thing. It's like a marriage. You don't get out when it gets hard. Just because your husband is working 7 days a week and you don't see him anymore doesn't mean it's time to find another one. The momentum is on the house of God. So I want to ask you in this year, get part of the house. Start serving the house so that God can take you from a place of obscurity to a place of security. If you go read through 1 Kings 19, nowhere did Elijah tell Elijah what to do. Right at the end, Elijah turns to Elisha and says, ask what you want. Never interfered, followed him diligently, served him diligently. What do you think is happening when nothing is happening in that wilderness place of your life? You know what is happening? We can't see anymore. If you only see what you see now, you will not be able to see that which is coming. If you only see what you see now, you will never be able to see that which is coming. Stay in that place. Serve wholeheartedly. You know what? Often we say, we look at, let's say, Vanant and Krista. Let's say they become, we appoint them as pastors tomorrow. Just an example. A whole lot of people in this church will say, they've been promoted overnight. Heck, they haven't even been district leaders. What's going on here? And we often do that. But you know what? Their night was most probably 20, 30, 40 years long, serving, building, being faithful. Okay? Stay in that place. Last Saturday, yesterday, a week ago, we attended the Aspling wedding, St. Clair and Marika's wedding. And Marika had a little speech at the wedding and was so beautiful. You know what she said to St. Clair? She said to him, I'm so happy you showed up. How amazing. I sat there and I said to Mac, I mean, hello, would he want to miss out on this? I'm so happy you showed up. To stay in that place means you have to show up. You have to show up at small group. You have to show up at intercession. You have to show up at Encounter 1 and 2 and Foundation 3. You have to show up. Because that's the place you grow and experience great breakthrough and taste of the wedding feast with the body of Christ. You have to show up. God was preparing Elisha in the wilderness. If you're in the wilderness, stay in that place and keep showing up. It's not about who we are, but who he is and what he wants to do through us. It's not about you attending Encounter One if you've done it 10 times. It is what he can do through you while you're there. Your testimony, your story, your prayer. It is about showing up in God's kingdom in the body of Christ. God is preparing you for that which he has already prepared you for. God is preparing you for that which he already prepared for you. We see it in Jeremiah 1 verse 9. God comes to Jeremiah and says, Jeremiah, before you were born, I called you as a prophet to the nations. That's his place. Was he promoted into it first? He went through hell. But he knew, God called me for this. I need to serve. Don't take yourself from the call. Hardship can cause us to rise, or it can cause us to be victims. I said to Mac last week, he teased me about something on the telephone. He said, I'm not going to speak out of our household, so sorry you can't have the info. But he phoned me, he said, Lovey, I know how you're going to be disciplined in one area. And I'm like, never worked before. He said to me, if you don't get disciplined in that area, you're going to drive from now on with a small green car, which I can't drive because it doesn't have steering, power steering. So I go into pavements, I go over pavements. I'm just pathetic. And I'm like, I said to him, you know what? What you're doing now is what the Word of God does. Some of the scriptures are fun to read, but horrible to live. But you check me in 2015. I'll be so disciplined in that area, you'll never see me in that car. Okay? And that is what James 1 says. It says, consider it a gift if you face all kinds of tribulation. Like, seriously? Okay. Let's make this practical. Imagine I phone Alida tomorrow morning and I say to her, Alida, my world is falling apart. I just cannot anymore. And she goes, oh, wow, what an incredible gift. I would reconsider the friendship. I would. But that's what the Word of God says. So we come to God like Elijah and go, and God says, what a gift. Now I can plant you and you can grow and you can blossom. Because God looks at things differently. God sees an ambush without any escape as an opportunity. Okay? To make it practical, it works like this. In South Africa, if you want to buy plant tulip bulbs that blossoms in winter, you have to keep them in the freezer through summer. Because we have to tell those tulips, it is snowing in South Africa. And then in winter, we replant them so that they can think it's spring. And by doing that, we force them to bloom. Exactly what the Word of God does with us. God often disarms us before he arms us. If you feel rejected in that lonely place, that place where nobody's caring for me, that wilderness place, write down this morning, God is creating an atmosphere for me to blossom. Okay? Because we as Christians, when the world falls apart, we as Christians are supposed to flourish. Ouch. Okay? Don't run away from your place. Because, I'm not saying because I'm speaking on behalf of the church, don't run away from that place. I know, I can testify. The retest is always harder than the original test. You don't want to rewrite it. Okay? Forgive people's trespasses. Don't give up your place because of unforgiveness, rejection, offense. Don't displace yourself. You see, Jesus also holds a place. He's at the place of the right hand of the Father. Am I right? Is this scriptural that I'm saying? Where was he before he was there? He was at a place that we know as Gethsemane. A place of obscurity. And he also cried out. He said, Lord, if there's
any
other way out of this, please let that cup pass me by right now. And then he said these words that I think if we use them most in our lives this year, we will see more breakthroughs. He says, Lord, but not my will, but yours be done. If we just go before the Lord and we say, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. Lord, this place that I'm at is so hard, is so dry. There's no ravens that feed me bread and meat in the morning. But Lord, your will, not my will, be done. If you embrace your place, do you know what? You cannot be displaced. And you don't even have to compete with anybody else. Because can I have Cindy and the Titus row and Jason, that row, can I quickly have you in front here, the whole row? Because you don't have to compete with anybody else. Because we each one have a gift. We have a place. Now imagine this. In a corporation, it works quite differently, and I'm not going to explain to you because you know how the corporate world works. But in the body of Christ, I appoint you as leader. Okay? I want you to just gather around Cindy here at the back. Just gather around her. Okay. Now, they are the body of Christ, okay? And they all have different gifts, and they all have different callings, and they all have different things, but she has to lead them. So she's leading them. And that's exactly what happens in the church. The body is not following. Elisha was appointed to follow Elijah for 10 years. Can the body follow, please? And that is what we're going to do in 2015. We're going to get in place, not because we want the prominent place, but because we find to be in the place where God can come and fetch us, where people cannot fetch us. Amen? So this morning, I just want to say to you, embrace your place. Embrace your place in this year. Be in that proper placement, even if you are like Elijah at burnout. And you say, I can't. And God, you helped it, but only up to a certain point because now the brook has dried up. You know what happened after the brook has dried up? God said, okay, now I want you to go pray for the widow. Okay, God, I suffer burnout. Did you forget that? I'm on to my next assignment. He gets to the widow. He says, God told me to come to you. You will feed me. She says, you're mad. Where are you coming from? You're so freaking arrogant. I don't even have food for myself. I'm going to bake a bread and then we're going to die, my son and I. Okay, where's God in that? It's about you being faithful in that place. Stay in that place. May I ask that everybody that serves in this church, everybody that's in leadership in this church, can you just stand up for me quickly? Anybody. Doesn't matter what you do. If you serve coffee, anything. Because we just want to pray a blessing over you. And Lord Jesus, I just want to thank you that these people have signed up to serve you. I know, Father, even cell leaders, they work hard, they work long hours, they don't have the time, they don't always feel they prepare well, they feel that they're running on empty oil. But Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you will come in this year and that you will fuel them. That you will visit them at night while they are asleep, Father. I pray that you will come and give to them in their sleep. Because your word says, you, for those who love you, you will even fall up in their sleep. And we speak a blessing. We command a blessing over your servants in this year and the new leaders to come. We pray blessing over them, Father, in Jesus' name. I want to ask you if you're standing, come to the front. Just come to the front because you're going to pray for the next people. Okay? And if you go sit down and I see you, I'm going to call you. Okay? Because this is about taking your place. Say, Lord, I'm tired. I'm empty. But yes, I'll carry on. Because your calling and the place you have for me has not changed. If you are in a place where you say, shucks, I've not been planted in this church. I do TV sermons. You know why TV sermons are not of God? You don't belong to a body. You don't have a place. We can just press the red button and goes off if that person tells you anything you don't like. God has called us to be a body. So if you this morning, please don't feel embarrassed. We're not going to judge you. We love you. We want to embrace you. And if you say, I've been visiting every now and then, but I really want to be planted in the body of Christ. Because this year, I want to shoot roots. And I want to grow. And I want to expand. And I want other people to come stand under my shade and enjoy the presence of God and healing and refreshment. Come to the front. So the first group is going to go to Rick. Rick, can you put your hand up? Okay. So that's the group that says, I've not been planted. Okay. I'm going to make it very practical. If you've not done membership, and that this is not a membership promotion, and you say, yes, Lord, plant me, because in this house I will grow. You go to Rick. Okay. The second group is you're in that hard place. It's rock hard. It's dry. Nothing is happening. There's no water. You're right at the back. And you realize this morning, I have to embrace this place. I've been trying to get out of it, but I have to embrace this place. I want you to go to Christelle and Anton. Christelle and Anton, can you put up your hands? Okay. Can Christelle and Anton come stand here and Rick stand here? Where Mac is. The third group. You saying, I've been in place, but my heart has not been in place. So this morning I want to get back in place. You're coming to Mac. Okay? And nothing is going to happen to you. We just want to pray with you. We just want to acknowledge where you're at and ask the Lord to come fetch you where you are at. That He will use His GPS in this year and say, I know about you. I'm aware of you. I will carry your burdens. I will come lift you up. I want to speak a blessing over you. Okay, so surely there has to be somebody who wants to get planted. Thank you. Come to Rick. Who says this place of wilderness has carried on for 10 years, 5 years, 20 years, 2 years, 6 months? It's just very hard. You here. They're going to pray with you. They're going to trust God that God delivers you and sets you free this morning. Not because we're waiting for the earthquakes and the fire, but because you're going to experience God's soft, gentle voice. And He's going to come and remind you this morning of your assignment. And if you're in a place where you say, Nordine, I've been there. I've been serving the church faithfully. I've been there all along, but my heart has been filled with bitterness, unforgiveness, and I have to get back into place. Go to Mac. Now, this is the hard part. This is normally where the church doesn't want to respond because now everybody is going to think we've got sin. We've got all sin. Okay? We all sometimes miss that place. Okay? And all the leaders in front, please surround these people. Let's pray for them. Let's welcome them. Let's acknowledge them this morning. Everybody sitting saying, wow, they're part of our family. Where I go, they'll go this year. Okay? Get planted in the house so that you can go to the God-given thing of your life. That's why you are planted in the body of Christ. Can the rest, can we just stand up and stretch out our arms? Lift your arms up to the Lord. Those of you sitting, let's just lift, close our eyes, lift up your arms. If you don't feel comfortable by lifting your arms, don't lift your arms. And I want you to pray after me. Lord Jesus, That's only the people in the auditorium, not the people praying in front. Lord Jesus, this morning, I say yes. In 2015, I will wholeheartedly follow you and love you. Thank you that you have called me as a servant of Christ to change the world. And thank you that you've chosen me. Amen. And I bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. May the favor of God be upon you in this year.